so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1, live.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Movement for Life podcast. I am your host, JR, and I'm here with my faithful sidekick, Colby. What's up, Colby?
How's it going? Doing great. It's a Monday.
It's Monday. It's Thursday. Solar Eclipse Monday.
Oh, yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, and it's my birthday.
Oh, shit. Shoot.
I knew it that you is. Had forgot. It is my birthday, so I have a solar eclipse birthday.
Nice.
Yes.
That's badass.
That is. And we have a great episode. Today, we're going to be talking about the second season of this show on Netflix called Physical 100. If you have not seen this show, it is so good. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. And then we also have a special interview with the new affiliate owner of CrossFit Horsepower, Jameson Perry. He'll be with us a little bit later. But before we get started, Colby, tell us what you did the last 7 days moving.
Movement. Yeah, I registered for quarterfinals. So that happened last week. I paid my $50. I saw a really funny meme that was like, I can't believe, you know, quarterfinals cost $50. And then they were like, oh, how much did you pay for your 5K sign up? Oh, how much did you pay for this race?
Yes.
How much? And it's like, yeah, I want to participate. So I'm happy to pay and contribute to that. So I signed up for that. I did a couple of CrossFit workouts. We had a really fun week. It was kind of in between cycles. And so we got to do some like hang power snatches, hang power clean, like heavy cleans. Got to do some training with both Brenda and Nikki and Victor.
So I saw that last Wednesday.
Yeah. I thought I was going to die. It was the first time that I did like a full 2 hours of training in several weeks. I was very sore. I also went and swam after that. That was a bad idea. I thought my arms were going to fall off because majority of what we did with team training was upper body and shoulders, and swimming was upper body and shoulders. And
of course,
my arms are like, why did you decide to do this today? And then I got to play some pickleball this weekend, and I've been really missing pickleball. Our group is just getting so much better. And it's really fun to have some like really good competition. Games are getting really close. It's like 14 to 12 then like, you know, 15 to 13. So, and games are supposed to only go to 11. So that means that it's like really close towards the end.
Do you have to win by two? You
got to win by two. Yeah.
Nice. That will keep a game going a long time if you have very equal level players.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, JR? What did you do last week?
So last week I worked out every day, 7 days, but some days were really filled with my Ollie training and CrossFit training. Some days were just me going into the gym, 40, 45 minutes of mobility, maybe even like 15 minutes sitting in the steam room, just trying to unwind and recover from what I did the day before. So though I went in 7 days, it was quality, probably 5 days of a pretty intense training, 2 days of active recovery. I'd rather go in and do something like that than not go in at all. And I feel like the days I don't go in, I'm actually more stiff and a little more sore than the days when I just go in and kind of move around and getting ready for quarterfinals myself. I will register today. I promise.
Yeah, you better.
And then our team is going to start training together, trying to put together a master's team over at Horsepower. So just on track. Everything feels really good. And I'm super excited to feel great and be able to move.
Yeah. I forgot that you're on your training schedule now for the Olympic lifting meet too.
Yes.
And are you 2 weeks into that?
This will be my second week.
Yeah. Second week?
Yeah. And
so it was first week kind of just like an intro to some programming?
You know, the percentages are low. We're at 60% and I'm going to have to adjust some of those based on that my back squat previously was 300. I hit it 4 years ago. It has not been close to that since the time I hit it. So I learned the hard way this week that those numbers are going to have to go down because I was really struggling and I want to make sure that I'm feeling safe. I'm doing this for fun. I have zero expectations. Again, like it's all about the experience and it's only going to make my Olympic lifting in CrossFit better. So let's just do this.
I love that, JR. Look at you saying, hey, this is for fun.
Hey,
this is for fun.
I followed that rule of thumb during the Open and I had the best Open. And
I love that.
Did not repeat one workout and Did great. It felt great. It's amazing. Wow.
I'm stoked for you. Well, when you went to the gym this last week, did you have your Haven bag?
I always have my Haven bag. What are you talking about?
Because that brings me into what I want to chat with you really quick about is the Haven bag link that we have. The Haven bag is a gym bag that I think is like the perfect gym bag. This last Christmas, I actually gifted all of our coaches and staff Haven gym bags for Christmas. So everybody got themselves a Haven gym bag. And yes. Haven gym bags got a couple of different options. They have backpack styles and they have like duffel bag styles. And you might be asking like, what's the difference between a Haven gym bag and just a duffel bag or a backpack?
Oh, the commoners.
And, you know, the nice thing about the Haven gym bag is that it's got compartments for everything. A big issue with kind of any kind of organization on backpacks is just that organization. It feels like it's a mess and you're always digging for things. And if you've got if you're going to the gym as well, it's like sweaty stuff and clean stuff. And mixing those two things together sometimes is less than ideal. So the Haven gym bag's got tons of compartments that you can split, like clean stuff from dirty stuff. You can put your shoes in an area. You can put, you know, if you've got like wrist wraps, jump rope, you know, extra pair of socks, a couple t-shirts, deodorant, you know, face wash, stuff like that. The Haven gym bag is the perfect gym bag. And you can get $40 off. They're not a cheap bag, but they're extremely high quality. I'm extremely impressed. Like I said, I bought all of my staff these gym bags for Christmas this last year. So invite that offer to you guys. Get $40 off your gym bag with the link in our description.
I love my gym bag. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Nice. For our first portion of today's podcast, we are going to be reviewing season 2 of the Netflix show Physical 100. If you don't know what the show is, it is from Korea. They take 100 of the fittest individuals that they can find, and these are folks from all aspects. We have all kinds of athletes, anywhere from Olympic level athletes, national team athletes, down to actors who are just physically fit, even first responders who are extremely fit. They put them into a fitness competition style show, and we watch them compete to see who is going to be. I think their tag is the fittest physique, and their little their little thing that they do the first episode is everyone comes in, they've already had a like molded like bust of their abdominal chest from waist to neck area, and they go stand by that, and one by one athletes come in. Obviously some of these folks are extremely popular celebrities in Korea, so as people are walking in, these contestants know who they are, and as we get to know them over the course of the season, you find out why they are there. They are extremely, extremely hardworking and dedicated people. So, Colby, you watched the first episode today. What did you think?
Yeah, I actually, you know, when you're talking about the physiques and them like coming in, I just remembered from last season, and it's like not really a spoiler, but I thought it was super cool that when they did lose in the game show for the first season, they were forced to like take a sledgehammer to their plaster body. So you kind of explained that they got this big old plaster thing that shows their body, the physique, as everybody's walking in. You don't really think about, you know, why are those there? But if they lose eventually, they're told that they got to take a hammer and break down that plaster physique. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. You know, breaking down their own body. The first episode, though, should we do spoilers or should we just say spoiler alert?
We'll say spoiler alert. I mean, we're only going to give maybe a spoiler for episode 1.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have to say who wins this, you know, like go as far as that. But, you know, kind of break down what they did and how big of scale this set actually is. It's humongous.
Yeah. So after they all came in and they were all like excited and meeting each other, the whole 100 people, and the physiques were all, like JR said, this all so different. There's like the biggest dude was 200 kilos, I think it was.
He's the huge. Biggest,
it's like a 400-pound dude.
Yeah.
And the smallest one was a gal that was like 50-something kilos.
Olympic lifter, and they showed her lifting weights, and she lifts a lot of weight.
Yeah. So like all different sizes. The first setup was running on the air runner. I'm not sure if it was an assault runner.
Like a free form, a free runner?
Runner, which is basically like a manual treadmill where it's not powered by something else. You have to be the power to keep the treadmill going. And they did three different segments. The first segment was 10 minutes, as much distance as you could possibly go. Then after that 10 minutes, 50 people got dropped out.
Out of here.
Boom. Then after a certain amount of time, then they did 7 minutes again. So on top of that 10, they do 7 minutes this time. After that 7 minutes, 40 people get dropped. So 90 people are dropped in those first two pieces. And then they go for another 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes names the top 10 people in order from 1 to 10. And basically, this was a prequel and how they were going to get ranked for the start of this series.
Yes.
And so the top person, they said, is going to get an advantage for winning this very first event, even though it's not even a first event. And then the last person is going to be at a disadvantage because they finished last in this very first event. So this setup was actually insane.
Insane.
They had one. It's not like they were going in heats for this. No. They had 100 air runners inside this warehouse.
Yeah.
And they did like several different like zoom out frames.
Everyone had their own light over them. It's like, it was crazy.
It was a massive, massive space, and it was extremely like cinematic as well.
Yes.
When they were announcing like, hey, who's getting dropped out? And they're like, everyone's got those spotlights, and they're like dropping the lights on people and like pulling them out, dropping the
lights.
We're
not dropping the lights on them. They turn the lights off.
yeah. Yes. They're not physically dropping, but the lights are turned
you're
off
out.
And they're like disappearing.
Yes.
It kind of had like Squid Game-esque.
No, absolutely. Feels. That's exactly right. It has a Hunger Games, Squid Games-esque vibe to it, the way that they do this. And I think it doesn't hurt that it's Korean based. So we have that kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So after that first challenge, nobody was actually eliminated from the competition. This was all for ranking.
Correct.
So as they went into the next challenge, the person who had the most mileage and that won that ranking challenge was able to pick their opponent for the next challenge, which was a physical combat, very similar to what they did last year with the ball. And
yeah,
as we go through the season, I have finished the season already. It only took me 46 hours maybe to finish. It's so good. I just get wrapped up to it. It's one of these competitions that makes me want to go out and work out immediately because it just inspires me to do all this stuff. And whoever's behind creating all these obstacles and challenges, like kudos to them because they are so creative with how they are challenging these folks.
Yeah.
So as we talk about the show, it kind of revolves or comes back to what we are always talking about on this
Yeah.
I'll start that over. So as we're talking about the show, it has similarities to what we talk about every week on the podcast, that we should just be moving in some aspect. And on the show, you see different people from different backgrounds who've moved different ways. And the overall purpose of the show is to find out who is basically the most balanced or overall athlete. There are CrossFitters in there as well. So it's really cool to see how they adjust so quickly compared to maybe some of the other people who have a very niche talent. Colby, whenever you're looking at this competition in general, how can you kind of relate that to, you know, moving for life and what we talk about every week?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't necessarily endorse you going and sitting on a couch and being a couch potato and watching this, but I think that this is something that's could be super inspiring for somebody who listens to us on a weekly basis and is like, you know what, maybe I just need some extra motivation. And you watch something like, you know, sometimes you watch something like a CrossFit Games and you feel, instead of feeling inspired, you feel kind of overwhelmed. I feel like the way that this was put together, it's been so inspiring. It's definitely something that's like makes exactly what you said. It makes you want to get up off the couch and be like, oh, I want to go try some of this stuff. I want to go like do some training. Yes. I want to go like get a little bit better at some of this stuff. So I think that this relates like very, you know, narrowly to what we talk about with Movement for Life. And it's also cool to see that, hey, movement has been so broad in the context of like all of these participants are doing so many, like they do so much different stuff for movement.
Right.
It doesn't really like, it's not like, oh, all of these people are all CrossFitters.
Right.
It's like, no, there's so many different, there's like martial artists, there's, you know, tree climbers, there's,
Olympic rower. You got all these martial artists, MMA guys.
Actors that are like, we want to stay in shape. We do things. Stuntmen, firefighters, police, security, like all sorts of just different walks of life that are all like, hey, yeah, like being fit is important to me. Or even like there's like retired athletes that are like, yeah, staying fit and you know, being like moving throughout my life is important to me. So I've stayed in shape since retiring as an athlete 10 years ago or whatever it may be.
All right. So as we're looking to the remainder of the season, I know Colby, you haven't quite finished. You got a lot. You got a few more episodes to go. You've only seen the first episode, correct?
Yeah. And how many episodes are there?
I believe there's 7 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got some episodes to go.
Yeah. So for everybody else out there who really likes these fitness reality challenge shows, this is definitely the one for you. There are a lot of huge sets being built for these. And the thing that I like about this is it starts as an individual competition. And then at some point they move to teams. So teams are created and then they have to work together. But then toward the end, they have to compete against their team members in order to be the only surviving team member to move on, which is... it's heartbreaking to watch because some of these people have created these great bonds. And then all of a sudden, you're like, what, how would you feel like if you were on a CrossFit team together? And then the last challenge was, oh, now the four of you have to compete against each other. Only one can move on.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a crazy twist that they had this year. So kind of be looking toward some emotional highs and lows. Really, at the end of the day, it seems like they're very supportive of each other. And I continue to think of like, I don't know if the translation is completely accurate because I feel like they're always super positive. And I definitely feel like if this was a show in America, people would always be like, who does she think she is? Or, you know, like more of a negative twist. And they're always so polite, like always complimenting each other. And
maybe
I will
say,
that's
a cultural thing.
Yeah, I will say that without giving anything away, all the CrossFitters do extremely well.
Nice.
I mean, they're very, you can tell that the training that we do in CrossFit goes toward, you know, the unknown. And every time a different challenge comes up, that's not even in their specific scope of what they've mastered. They tend to do really, really well. So that's really
cool.
I feel like that's a big check mark for those CrossFit athletes that they're able to just kind of go with the flow.
Constantly varied functional movement performed to high intensities.
Yes.
Coming up next, we're going to get into our interview with Jameson from the new owner of CrossFit Horsepower. Our conversation was awesome. We loved talking with him. Really excited to see how he grows his community out in Studio City. I think you'll find that him and I have very similar outlooks on a lot of different things. Although we have drastically different backgrounds, it's really cool to see some of the... similarities that can come about from drastically different backgrounds and, you know, a vision and a mission that align pretty well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the next couple of years for Horsepower has in store with Jameson. I know he's going to be a great leader, and great leaders do great things.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have a conversation with a special guest. This guy I have known for almost 6 years now as a coworker and now as his employee. He is the new affiliate owner for CrossFit Horsepower in Studio City. Welcome, Jameson Perry.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me.
Jameson, why don't you give us a little background on how you first started to get involved in CrossFit, maybe some background for sports or any other activities you've done when you were younger.
So I came through this world as a dancer. I started dancing when I was 3 years old, started doing it professionally when I was 13. In 2008, kind of in my mid-20s, I moved out to Los Angeles and was working as a professional dancer. When I found CrossFit, I had gotten off of touring like the last 6 or 7 months straight. I'd gotten off a tour. I felt like I was in the best shape of my life. I felt like I could do anything, and I wanted to do something to keep that fitness level up. So I looked around, kind of stumbled across CrossFit, recommended by a friend, and I went, and I took two classes back-to-back because I was like, oh, this is easy. I'm going to be good. And then after those two classes, I couldn't sit, stand, move my arms, or even function as a human being for like a good week and a half, 2 weeks. And I was like, I thought that I was crushing life, and this has kicked my butt. I don't ever want to feel like this again. So this is just how I'm going to train myself from now on. And then through that, kind of just got more and more and more involved with CrossFit and really just fell in love with the mechanics and the movement of it. And that was that same time that my life was changing. I was moving away from dance, and it just naturally came a transition for me to move from one movement style into that next movement style. And then it just continued to grow. I bounced around to a couple gyms. I was at one gym for a while, and someone's like, hey, have you ever thought about coaching? And I was like, cool. Why not? What does this entail? And they said, well, if you coach for us, you get a free membership. And I was like, well, you've sold me. Started coaching. Moved over, and it started with one class, and it grew into becoming a head coach someplace, and then it grew into managing a facility for the last 4 years. And then from there, it just kind of went to that next step of like, well, cool, from managing a facility, what is that next natural step for me, which became having my own affiliate.
Love that. That was going to be my question for you. How long, because that's been pretty recent, being an affiliate owner is fairly new for you. My first question is, how long have you been the owner of Horsepower?
I have, let's see, it's the 8th. So I have been the owner of CrossFit Horsepower for 2 months and 8 days now.
Yeah.
It's been a very recent transition.
I love that. And so my other question is, like, you talked about like a couple of years here and there. Like, what was that timeline from your like first coach to when you became manager, and then from like managing to this most recent transition into being an owner?
So when I first started doing CrossFit as an athlete or as a, kind of just as a member, I was a member for only about a year when I started coaching. Cool. And then I was coaching, and kind of that schedule grew into coming more of a full-time thing over about 3 to 4 years.
Great.
And then as that grew, it kind of became that bigger thing. And then I was kind of just a head coach at a facility for, I'd say, probably 2 years. And then during the pandemic, everything for everybody really, really changed and switched around. And at that point is when we really decided to switch that role of like, hey, why don't you just do this, the full operation day to day, everything, and handle everything of how this is run. So then the last facility that was at, I ran that last facility for 4 years as we came out of the pandemic until recently. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
That's about as hard of a transition as you could possibly get, is post-pandemic gym.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was what was really kind of amazing about it though too, because where I was, we came out of the pandemic and there was maybe like 30 to 40 members that had retained. Just with life choices, people making big changes of their life. I allow like to work out at home. So from that, it was really taking a community and kind of really making it reflect me, because you know, as an owner, the people who come through the door, you naturally attract a certain type of person. So over those 4 years, I really gathered around those people that clicked with me and meshed with me. And I really gathered around like kind of those fun misfits and those smart asses that worked and clicked so well with me. So it really built a community that reflected how I live my life and how I carry myself, which was amazing fun. And then at the end of that 4 years, it was really like, this is amazing. What is next?
Yeah.
Because there really wasn't anything that I wasn't doing at that point. It was just kind of like, cool, where do I go with this? What's the next step for me? Do I want to do this forever? And if I do, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think that's I have a very similar question that I kind of asked myself. That, like, once you're into that point of like pinnacle employee, you kind of ask yourself, like, hey, like, what's next? Because a gym owner can happen two ways, right? You can start being the gym owner from day one and in your garage and have five mm-hmm. members and build up your space, or you can be a coach, right? And coach and coach and manage and like increase your roles until one day you've been an employee for X amount of time and you're like, hey, what are next steps for me? Do I make the transition into something like gym ownership, or do I continue my path along as an employee and do some sort of, for me, it was like equal adjacent work is what I called it. Along with me managing this facility, what other equal adjacent work could I do? And I ended up going the same route as you. And I said, I think affiliate ownership is what I want to end up doing. So it's been a fun path as well.
Well, then for me, like coming from the entertainment industry of being a dancer, obviously I'm out in Los Angeles. So that next step that I wanted to do that I pursued for a while was I wanted to act. And for me, it really was at some point, if it is meant for you, if this is what you're supposed to be doing, it should have a natural progression. One step should take you into the next step and you should move along. For me, acting wasn't doing that. I was beating my head against the wall and I was like, well, look, this CrossFit thing, I love doing it. It has this natural progression. It's carrying me forward into something. So it was like the last couple of years sitting down and going, cool, what do I want to do? You know, we all have friends who just do personal training. Is that the avenue that I want to take? Do I just like coaching? And then it's also, I was joking around this with my wife the other day, because it is like, she asked me, why didn't you want to just do personal training? And I was like, well, because if everyone does personal training, you have to have that one idiot that sits there and goes, I want to own the space. It's not an easy job. It doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at it from the numbers perspective. It's really, really hard. It's a whole lot of work, but you always have to have that one idiot that just goes, I want to own it.
Yeah.
And then everybody else kind of, you can gather around you. But like, for me, I was that idiot that I sat there. I was like, I really want to make it work. I want to own it. I want to run it. I want this to be my place. And that's what just made sense to me to do just personal training. I was like, it's fun. I do it, but that's not where my heart is. I like being here and saying hi to everybody coming through the door and knowing everybody and having those conversations and knowing everybody that's in the facility. Like, that's the fun to me. That's so amazing and so fantastic. It's just like, I couldn't imagine doing anything else at this point.
And that's what's going to make you an incredible affiliate owner as well.
Hopefully. We're working towards it.
So, Jameson, you are a new affiliate owner. What have you found to be the most challenging aspect so far being an owner?
People hate change. As much of as in CrossFit, we're always pushing people outside of their boundaries and having them do new things. People like their schedules. They like their routines. Wednesday is partner day. Saturday is long endurance day. Like, people settle into their schedules and they don't like when they are messed with. And then for me, I'm kind of the middle sibling. So it's also a little bit of, as soon as you tell me you can't move this makes me comfortable. I go, what if I shift it to Tuesday? And people are very, it rattles them. And to me, it's like, this is what it should be. You shouldn't be able to settle into a same schedule every single week, every single day. Like, why can't we partner on a Tuesday? Why don't we do a little bit of strength on a Saturday? Well, this isn't what we do. Why though? Is there any specific reason that it is set up this way other than that's just kind of what's been convenient? Well, if it's just conveniency, well, let's shift it around, move things around, and see what happens. If it doesn't work, we can always go back to it, but why not try? You know what? I love it. I haven't been able to ever do partners because I don't come on Wednesday. I come on Tuesdays and it's been fantastic. Great. That means it's good to shift that around. Make sure that people are seeing everything. They're not just settling into their routine. Routine is great, but change is good. It's good to be pushed out of our comfort zone. That is why we do CrossFit. If we wanted to be comfortable all the time, we would not do this. There's nothing about this is as comfortable. So to find that people settle into it and find that comfortable, I go, that's great. I love that for you. Let's mess with it though. And that definitely has been the most challenging part, because there are things that need to change. And there's just things that, let's just see what happens and change them and mess people up a little bit and move it around and see what occurs.
All right.
Yeah, I think that is definitely a really, really hard part, is like that very last thing that you just said is like, the change is going to be inevitable, but you are, as the gym owner, you are now the person who's like deciding, hey, this gets changed and this doesn't. And this mm-hmm. is how much this changed. This is how little this changes. And you're like the one that's tuning all of those things. And when we do that, people aren't happy. But you know it's good for them. You're like, you're doing it for everyone's best interest.
Well, and the thing is, like, and this is why for me, this is why I say I kind of come from that middle child thing. Like, it's good to poke at things, but you also have to keep that in check of, like, how much you poke. Right. Like, we're not doing it just to be annoying.
Sure.
There is really a purpose behind it. Like, it is, change is good, where it's good to challenge ourselves. It's good to push ourselves out of our comfort zone. But it can't just be for the sake of doing it. It is, and that's the thing, like, and that's sort of a big thing about expressing to people. Like, well, why are we not partnering on Wednesday? Because with the programming this week, it makes sense to have it on Friday. Well, but I like it on Wednesday. But this is the program. To do it on Wednesday does not follow the purpose of the programming. It works on Friday. So there is a reason to it. I'm not just doing it just for the fun of it. It is fun to challenge people, but it's like also, this is the way it makes sense. This right. is the reason for this programming. This is where it fits. So this is where it will go this week. Next week, it might be on Wednesday. It might be on Monday. It'll move around, but it has to go where it makes sense.
Yeah, I love that. And kind of explaining this, it sounds like, which we all, I think, do, we all have like this unique vision and mission that we want each of our spaces to kind of embody. And so for Horsepower, I want to know, what is the mission? What's the vision? What's the culture that you're trying to drive out of your space?
So for me, I've always been, and this is just my opinion about myself, so I'm going to flatter myself. I think I've always been good about getting new people in the door to feel comfortable and safe with CrossFit. You can get them to come in, teach them the basics. They get very comfortable and they're very, very happy. What I have always struggled with personally is that higher level of athlete push to make sure that we're still challenging those. So this space, when I walked in, did cater towards more of that higher level skills and that challenging athlete to get sort of pushing those forward. So for me, it is finding that really right balance. I think we all struggle with this as affiliate owners or programmers to find that balance of this needs to be approachable for new people walking in the door. They don't stick their head and go, this is terrifying, I'm going to run away. But at the same time, making sure that we are still challenging and pushing those higher level athletes. So for me, my big challenge for me that I'm really wanting to work on is finding that balance of making sure that new people coming in the door feel safe and welcome and comfortable to try it out. Because there's still a lot of people out there who are terrified of CrossFit because they saw a video 8 years ago where somebody hurt themselves or blah, blah, blah. But to still make sure that we are challenging and progressing forward with those high-level athletes.
Yeah. I love that. And I think you're kind of spot on, too, that a lot of affiliate owners are in that same boat. Because as you do CrossFit more and more, you get better at it. Mm-hmm. And so if you do a good job, people stick around. And when people stick around, lo and behold, they get results. They get better and better and better. And so at some point, you have to say, hey, we've got members that have been here for 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years. They're really good. Like, how do I mm-hmm. make sure that they're continuing to progress and they're continuing to get better? And I'm providing opportunities for them in addition to the people that are walking into the doors for their first time.
Well, and I feel like CrossFit has this kind of life cycle to it. We come in the door. We kind of start doing, we go, oh, this is fun. Then we get introduced to those higher level skills and we go, oh my goodness, I would love to compete. I really want to push the weight on all my squats. I want to get these high technical movements. And we stop taking so much care of ourselves and we push ourselves to the point where we get injured. We all have that cycle. We all do those stupid things. I was squatting the other day. I did this. Like, we all have that stupid story that we did. And we know we shouldn't have, but we take it to there and then we kind of push it like, okay, cool. You know, I kind of like to just enjoy doing this again. I don't want to take it so seriously. Competing is fun, but like, I just want to enjoy being in class. So it's making sure that I'm hitting people from that introduction, getting them to that high school level, always trying to avoid that injury. But then even on that downfall, we'll be like, look, I've been doing CrossFit for the last 12 years. I have these skills. I just want to enjoy working out now. Like, it's still, it's trying to make sure that you're working with and finding all those people in that life cycle so that people just like to be here, where no matter where they are, new, experienced on that way up, or just going, I'm just here to enjoy being fit so I can have whatever I want to eat when I'm outside of the gym.
Yeah.
I think that goes with the kind of programming you decide to choose as well. You're finding that, you know, that very specific program that maybe is catering to the highest level, but then you have people on your staff that you know will always provide modifications for every level and showing them that no matter what, we could have 16 people in a class and all 16 people could be doing something different, but it's to their mm-hmm. level and it's hitting the stimulus that is the objective for the day.
Yeah. And that is the big thing about being able to really, really trust and rely on your coaches. Like, I don't think as an affiliate owner, it's still very weird, Jer, for you to call me your boss or like you're my employee. It's still weird for me to think about that way. But it is, it's like having that trust in there, like, cool, this is a day that we're working on muscle ups. Here's 20 minutes that we're going to spend working on the muscle up. Well, what do you want me to do? You're the coach. Look at the people in that class. Where are we? Are we doing box jumping muscle ups? Are we working on just that strength of a strict pull up? Where are we in that room? A lot of times you give coaches that 20 minutes and five people just go over and sit on the floor and play on their phones or drinking water. They're just having a conversation. Like, no matter that skill level, these are your times to be an amazing coach. Where do we think that we should be working? Because those same people with me, I may work something different. That's why right. we have different coaches yeah. for people. Like, you should be challenging and pushing them where you see that deal or where that need is. And I'm going to push them differently. But that's why we rotate those coaches. That's why we do that. That's why I try and stay as much hands off as possible with coaches and let them have that time to be a coach. That's how you get to work with people. That's how you get to know them. That's how you get to progress people. If everybody's just going, here's 20 minutes, do whatever you want. Well, I'm just going to play on my phone then. It's not right. what we're doing today. Well, I don't want to do a muscle up. Yes, but there's still so many other things that we can be doing with this strength. Yep. Even if you don't yep. ever have a desire to do a right. muscle up, we can still be doing our pull-ups, that strength, that technique of a kipping pull-up. There's still so much to work. And same thing with what we were just talking about, making sure that those people are not left behind going, oh, they're only working on the muscle-up. I'm still working on my first pull-up. They don't care about me.
Yeah. It can be challenging as a coach, but it's absolutely doable.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
And that's the fun.
All right.
That's
so
why we coach.
That's true. All right. So I know that you are really big on building a strong community, not only within your space, but within the surrounding CrossFits in your area. So tell me why you think it's important to build that community aspect within other affiliates and yourself and how you go about or how you're planning on going about doing that.
Well, I think CrossFit doesn't set up to protect affiliate owners. It's not set up that way on purpose. And I think it's a good thing. But it also has a downside to it too. If you are the only gym in the area, then you are the only gym and everyone's going to go there. If I open my gym right next door, the philosophy of CrossFit is the better gym will survive. You cannot just survive off of being a horrible gym just because you're the only one. That's why they don't protect areas. And it's a good thing. If you are not coaching well, if you're not doing a good job, you naturally will not survive. Great. What has happened though is when you're in a highly populated area like Los Angeles, we have gyms that are close to us. We have a life cycle of members. Members come to us and they go, you know, well, my best friend's now over here. I'm going to leave this gym and go to that one. So you have those members that pop around. So what happens is people then go, oh, well, these are my competitors. And it's like, at the end of the day, they're not. They were all the same members. They've been members of mine. They've been members of yours. They're really just all CrossFit friends. And what tends to happen is now you're like, ooh, I saw JR at Horsepower in class today. I thought he was over it here. It's like, you know, go hang out with your friends. Go work out. Like, this is fun. We're working out. So, like, to be able to have those relationships so it's not making enemies or fake enemies or competitors to yourself, like, make that community. Have that so you can go do events together so that we can talk together, have those community events, do things with the open. Like, the reason that we do all this, we start for the fitness and all of us stay for the community. We can go and work out by ourselves in our garage. We all can do that, but we do it here for the community. So if we are now growing our community just from inside our doors to the other facilities that are local to us, all we're doing is making a bigger community and having us have more opportunity for our members and as a member to have fun, to do interrelationship competitions between two gyms or have a big event. Like we've got the quarterfinals, the semis coming up. Like to do that, hey, look, guys, we've got 15 people. You've got 10 people. Do you want to get together this weekend and let's have fun and we'll just all do it together? Don't be like, oh, no, they're our competitor. We don't want to help them or participate in them. It's like, no, we're all a big CrossFit community. We're all spread out enough that we are all surviving and having a good time. I've got friends there. You've got friends here. Let's get together and work out and have fun. That's why we do this at the end of the day.
I love that. And I also empathize with a very, very similar mentality. And what I, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm getting at here with your mentality is like, at the end of the day, like you, Jameson, just want people to be healthier and happier. Like you want more people moving. And if that means that they're moving at a different gym, at least they're moving. And they're like that.
Well,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off. You go ahead.
And like, that's what I want. And I think I think there are exceptions to that. People are, I think there are affiliate owners that, you know, may not believe that in the truest sense, but I think the majority of affiliate owners, that's what we believe. Like that's what we want. And so it makes the most sense that we all working together is maybe not necessarily the right way to put that, but like have community with one another as affiliate owners and communication with one another with affiliate owners. And it's really good. You know, I've got some good relationships with nearby gyms to be able to refer somebody, hey, like yeah, I'm actually yes. in this area. You know, and I'm like, you know what? I know a really good space for you that would be a mm-hmm. perfect fit. Like, this is the owner's name. You should get in touch with them. That would be, and they're like, wow, thank you so much for being able to give that. And I want to be able to make those referrals. Like, if somebody's not going to be a perfect fit for us or in our area, like, I want to be able to refer to somebody that I trust that also is on the same page. Like, hey, we want to make sure people are healthy and happy.
Well, absolutely. And especially, again, like with such a densely populated area like Los Angeles, we have so many gyms. The moment you move 2 more miles away, like, well, now this 10-minute commute now during rush hour is taking me 30, 40 minutes to get back to the gym. Like, look, you've been a member here for 6 years. I love this, but like, this no longer fits with your lifestyle and that kills me. But like, I don't want you then to just stop working out because you can't come here. Like, no. Go to this gym. They're going to take care of you. I know them. I'm going to give them a heads up that you're coming. You've been doing it. Like, We can't keep everybody as much as we would love to. People move, lives change. And just because lives change doesn't mean now I no longer care about you or threatened by you. Like, no. I still love you. Anytime you want to drop in, come here, let's work out. But like, this can be your home gym. Like, that's great for you. That's now convenient. Where for me, it no longer works. It doesn't make sense for you to come to me anymore.
So my question out of that, so I agree mm-hmm. with that. Is, and I don't know if I have an answer for it, like, where does that come from? Like, where did you feel like you understood that concept, you felt that concept? And maybe I'll answer, maybe I do know where it comes from, and maybe then I'll let you answer. For me, I felt like it came from being in the environment that, like, all competition was bad. So the first gym I came from, mm-hmm. like, any kind of potential competition was seen as like a massive net negative. Like, even if it meant more people were moving, not good. And I was mm-hmm. like, that doesn't seem right to me. That doesn't seem productive. So that's kind of where I started to develop some of my ideas. And I'm curious, like, where it's crazy. We've only spoken a few times to have such a similar outlook on this sort of thing. So I'm curious as to where, you know, you think you formed that kind of vision or idea about that.
Well, I think mine personally comes from the owners of affiliates that I have been at before and with my work experience as a dancer. So there's really three things that have really shaped how I view and how I interact with members and the business kind of in the community in general. The first person that I worked under, Stacy, she was the epitome of the personality of the gym. She was all community. But because of that, and I've talked to her about this before, I love her to death. She was not the greatest business person. She was so community driven that was like, well, this is happening in my life. Don't worry about it. Just come. Okay, well, now we still have to pay the bills. There's still things happening. So she was so far to that extreme. that second type of ownership that I went to was kind of the opposite side of that. It was so business oriented and it was just so much on that side that the community was not important at all. So like to me, experiencing both sides of that spectrum, I feel like I've found like a balance that makes sense to me. And then the biggest thing for me is growing up dancing. One of my biggest jobs out here in LA, I worked with the same choreography team for 6 years. And watching him on set, working with people and navigating people and understanding what was happening and be able to seamlessly flow in and out and dealing with that community of these people that have worked together for 6 years, it was amazing to watch and to experience. And I've taken so much from all three of those individual things to bring that together to make it make sense to me, because it really is like, yes, it's a business, but we shouldn't lose fact of the fact that just because it's a business, we're dealing with people that we care about. But then also, like, we're just working out. We need to enjoy this. We need to have fun doing it. Like, and it's also, if you treat someone like an enemy, if you treat them like they are scary, they are going to be that for you always.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. So if this business is going to be next door to you, there's nothing you can do but smile, say, okay, and do the best that I can do.
Yep.
Obviously, with the business owner, that takes on different aspects, because if things don't work out, this is our livelihood and everything. But also, like, making them always this big, fearful, scary thing in your brain doesn't solve this either. Like, all you can do is do the best job that you can do, approach everything that you are going to be with that happy, smiley face, and make the best of that circumstance. And to me, as long as you approach it that way and you've got those good people around you, things will work out the way that they're supposed to. If you always approach things in that negative, scary way, things will turn out in a negative, scary way.
Yeah. Love it. Cool.
All right. So Horsepower has a long tradition of being one of the perennial CrossFits in Los Angeles, has a rich history of high-level competitors. They've had several games athletes, teams that went to the games. So how are you planning on keeping that tradition with your philosophy on how you want to run an affiliate? You kind of touched on it a little bit, but what's your plan?
Well, it's been great, because I took over the gym right as we were going into the open. So we had a great turnout for the open. I really got to bring some of the community aspects that I really love. We made each of those Friday Night Lights a big event. We made it a big thing. We had it a big party. We catered. We had food. We all had a good time. And now we think I've got 10 to 15-ish people who are now going on to that next step.
You got 22.
So it's like
22.
I'm sorry, 22. I don't have the exact numbers on my head. Somehow tears. But yeah, we've got 22 people that are going on to that next step. So it is. It's been great, because this has also pushed me. This is the most that I have trained in the last 4 years. The last 4 years of managing that other facility, all I did was run it, and my training fell to the wayside. And with everybody here being so excited about doing these workouts and challenging themselves, has really pushed me to get back into my training too. So I think all of this leadership comes from the top. If I'm doing smart, safe things and people see me scaling workouts and going, he did it and he scaled. Well, great. We need to scale appropriately, but also going, let's do this weekend. We've got quarters coming up. This is the schedule to do it. Let's have fun doing this and pushing ourselves. I think it's that balance. Taking class and training with people and seeing people like me, your coaches, your affiliate owners, scaling workouts and going, this is what the appropriate thing was for me for the stimulus. It doesn't always have to be RX, and taking that ego out of it and going, okay, it is so okay just to train sometimes and not come in first place. But then also when we have those opportunities to compete, like the Open, to really embrace that and go, it is fun to compete. It can't be our all-time focus. We all have jobs. We all have things. We all have to take care of our bodies and mobilize and take care of ourselves. But it is fun to do. And I think it comes from that affiliate, or it comes from that head coach of going, look, we can do both. We can scale appropriately, and we can still compete and push ourselves.
I think it also helps that you have the former owners that are still in there. They still want to be involved. You know, Nomi and Dan have been incredible mm-hmm. in this whole process, and seeing them in class every day, still interacting and, you know, following your lead with the things that you're doing and supporting that has been really helpful.
It has been super, super helpful. And it is also, that is the biggest compliment to me, because again, I came in here, I am new to this space, and I have made big changes to this space. And to have them in conversations be like, it's been great to watch. I never thought of this, or that has been great. I have loved this. To hear that feedback of the person who has been running this facility for the last 12 years to go, this has been really, really great. I couldn't ask for a better compliment. To have him as a happy member here, which was always the goal.
Yeah.
To hear him that he's happy being a member. What else could I ask for? You know, that's the biggest endorsement to me, because he has been the one making all the choices and making all the decisions for the last 12 years. So to hear he's happy with the things that I'm doing, I'm sure that is a resounding confidence for the members too, to be like, this is the man that I put my faith in to guide my fitness career, my fitness journey. And now him here, he's so happy with the changes they're making. Okay, well, this guy is someone that I can put that same faith in to carry my fitness journey continuing forward.
Yeah. Love that. Cool.
You have anything left, Colby? Yeah,
I'm just looking forward to having more conversations with you, Jameson. I'm sure that there's going to be things in the works as far as like meetups go in the future. We'd love to have some, you know, bigger events. I know JR's got some.
You guys have a common denominator here, okay? So don't screw it up.
JR is
CrossFit. We both love CrossFit, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not JR. JR's not the common denominator here. But I'm excited. JR's got a bunch of great ideas to hopefully bring some of our communities together and get, you know, kind of just like what you said, our CrossFit communities out and supporting each other and at the end of the day, let's just like lifting up the entire ecosystem. Like CrossFit's big mission is to get, what is it, 30 million people to be doing CrossFit, and we're only at like 3 or 4 million right now. And so we want more people moving. We want people to be healthier. We want people to be able to take action. So, you know, the better rep we all have, the better we're all going to do. Not only as businesses, but like, I think as a society as well.
Before we let you leave, we do have to mention that, you know, Jameson has been a professional, is still a professional working dancer. You can see him as soon as last week on the Apple TV series Palm Royale, dancing in that ballroom scene. So look closely and you can see him dancing.
Ooh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'm working anymore, but I'm definitely still dancing. Can't stop me.
That's right. All right. Before we leave, Jameson, is there anything else that you want to say as far as your plans or anything to the community of Horsepower or anybody else out there? Final thoughts?
Final thoughts are, I am still in the beginning of this journey, and it has been an amazing, crazy journey so far. And I really am looking forward to continuing to grow with this community and being grown and challenged. And I'm looking forward to growing and challenging them also.
Yeah.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1. Ah.